Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight, where we talk tonight about the incel internet sphere, which we've not been covering for a while. I've always liked the incels on the internet, and today I saw some clips of Andrew Tate because I was discussing on Discord. I don't know who Andrew Tate is, and he makes a lot of sense. He's kind of... He's explaining everything very roughly. I'm kind of annoyed at his voice, but otherwise, intellectually, it makes sense. I like what he says. So let's get a deep dive today into the incel world. And there's an excellent article at Substack, Bright Eyes. I don't know who that person is, but the fuck rate is about to implode. I don't know if it's in relation to the inflation rate, if he's comparing the fuck rate to the inflation rate, but basically his theory is that society rests on a test. Someone says the sound is crap. Is everyone experiencing this? Because here on my side the sound seems okay. So let me know on the regular chat if, like Friedrich Cornelius, you are experiencing a crappy sound. Personally, I have my regular sound, so perhaps you have a problem locally. Try to refresh your browser and check your speakers. Anyways, look at this 4,000-year-old skeletons of a mother who was trying to shield her child from a massive earthquake. Looks like she died with her child instantly under the crumbling of maybe her house, and then got fossilized. Fascinating to see the love of a mother survive time like this in a last moment, a last attempt at protecting her child. Absolutely beautiful. By the way, tonight is a double program. We have the regular show right now. It's going to be about 1 hour long, and we will then move at 9 p.m. Eastern time to the Patreon and Subscribestar show. We may not have all of the guests that we usually have, because somehow I thought that Saturday was a good fit because we had good participation last time and I had organized it on a Saturday. But it seems that now on the fall, a lot of people are not available on Saturday. So I regret now scheduling it on Saturday, but I didn't know that in September, suddenly everyone would be unavailable. In any case, whoever wants to come will have you on the Discord discussion, and if you'd like to join the conversation, join the Patreon or the Subscribestar at the $20 level. Some random bloke says, "Hey JF, do you think it's a matter of when, not if, the Camp of Saints will happen to Europe?" But you keep asking me this question. I haven't read the Camp of Saints, so... ask him a question that is clearer for someone who doesn't know what the Camp of Saints is. Now, if you're asking me, I think it's about replacement. So do I think that Europe is getting replaced? Absolutely. Europe is under an invasion through migration, and eventually it will turn into a form of civil war from the local pockets of instability created by religious frictions, racial frictions, and just the overall change of demographics, which will result in a more unstable world, and this will kick out eventually white people. So yes, Europe is getting replaced. Within 100 years, there will be some majority Muslim populations in Europe. Go Away says, "Average JF enjoyer is out drinking with his mates on a Saturday night. Luckily, it's Sunday morning here in Australia." Yes, it seems that people have been partying on the Saturday. Some random bloke says, "Camp of Saints is when millions of Africans head north and swamp Europe." Oh yeah, I mean, okay, if that kind of movement might happen. Mama JF is here. Did you have something to add?
Oh, it was funny today because I looked on your phone again and there was a publicity of a pouch.
A pouch?
Yeah, it was like a wallet kind of thing.
And yesterday we discussed about the German beer hall putsch.
Yeah, so and maybe so Google has detected that you like.
They record my voice so much. I don't know exactly through which channels. Maybe my phone is monitoring me, but they heard me say pooch for the German beer all pooch, and my phone now sends me ads for, would you like to buy some pouches? So yeah, some random bloke, the idea of Africans heading north, I mean, it's already happening. Basically, it's happening through our immigration policies. But whether it will happen at a bigger rate at some point, a kind of point of no return, probably, because that's how invading movements work in history. You know, it starts with some flow of population, and eventually it can be a full invasion or a war. I don't think it will take the form of a war, but I think it will take the form of refugees and people begging for help and the system not being quite capable of handling the situation. And he sends me an article from Al Jazeera. UN warns 345 million people face starvation worldwide. Well, yeah, that's what I said back in 2016. I was saying this on the TDS and the shows at The Right Stuff. I was telling them, we're going to either disappear or we're going to have to learn that helping people doesn't help them. That we have to be completely insensitive to people who are saying, I can't eat, I need your help. Because if you take some populations and you say, all right, we're going to take 0.1% of your population because you're too hungry, they're going to make more babies to fill the world. And then you're going to have to take 0.5%. Then you're going to have to take 1%. As long as you keep pumping out babies from a place on the basis of humanitarian considerations, the local people will create more babies. It's basically a queen worker system, queen sterile worker system establishing, where you have a queen productive of babies in Africa, and you have Western civilization that says to these babies, hey, we can have you here. We're going to give you all of the opportunities of a Western nation. And the system only cracks down, really, when the arrival destination country becomes so crippled by the demographic change that it's not even desirable to go there anymore. But that day, it won't be the nations that we know today. Ariel Suarez says, you would just be favoring traits that create the problem and increase the problem further. Absolutely, that's exactly what's happening. You are giving an evolutionary signal that says, yeah, you did the right thing. Because you made babies, you didn't know how you would feed them, but someone found how to feed them. So it's the cuckoo situation once again. It's like, oh, there's plenty of nests filled with birds that want to care for eggs. Well, let me go pound the eggs, my eggs, into their nest. It's exactly what's happening. A carp like you have never seen. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a freak of nature. A carp with two mouths, two eyes, basically two heads connected one to the other. A deformation of the greatest mutational experiment, a result of nuclear warfare and research. A carp has been mutated into a two-head having carp. Now, you know, people often think, you know, these anti-evolution people, they say, oh, Jeff, how can a mutation give you all these features that would be advantageous to natural selection? Well, a single event of mutation, a single accident, a single genetic accident can form very complex patterns. And that is an example of it. Now, is that caused by a single letter of DNA? It could very well be. Or it could be a mix of circumstances that particularly crossed into this particular fish and mutated it at birth, or before birth, even in the gametes. But whatever are the conditions, we could call this a mutation, even if it can be something that affects a greater strand of DNA than just one single letter. And a mutation can give you very complex features. And if it was the case that having two mouths was suddenly an advantage, Go away says, JF, please stop looping this video. No, I want you to understand. I want you to understand that evolution is true. The first human that stemmed out from a chimpanzee was a trisomy. Basically, he had the equivalent of trisomy. He had a chromosomal defect that was taking the chromosome, one of the chromosomes of chimpanzees, reverted it, and it collided with the chromosome 2 of humans. Basically, if you had looked at the first human that was birthed by a female chimpanzee, it would probably look more disgusting than that. But somehow, this freak of nature ended up giving birth to what we are today. Because once you have the initial change, that's kind of, it looks half like a handicap, half like a feature. And then evolution starts working the details. And then it's like, okay, well, suppose that it was good to have two mouths. Well, evolution would start reshaping the mouth so that it's still two mouths, but it's more hydrodynamic and it looks better. Evolution can refine a rough scenario that was found to be particularly interesting evolutionarily. All right, what does Andrew Tate have to say about the problems of society? I didn't know this man at all, but I kept seeing his name and people were saying, JF Andrew Tate. Okay, so I decided to watch a couple of things, search for his clips on the internet.
I actually think that 90, no. I'm gonna say this. I think 99% of the world's problems would be solved if females walked through life with their body count on their forehead. Because it would pr
So he's suggesting that females, if they were wearing a digital display on their forehead that says how many men they have had sex with, all of the world's problem would be solved, almost all. That's very interesting. It could be true, you know. You have suddenly females are incentivized at not having sex with low quality males. Suddenly they are incentivized at keeping that count to zero or one and be proud of it and display it to their friends. They are shamed if they get too much sex and it's not leading society forward. It's not leading to any production of babies. If sex wasn't an accident, but it was something that women are very serious about, and they really say, okay, I need to pick a male and stay with him, or else I'm gonna have a two or a three or a four on my forehead. That would be great.
Prevent, because it would prevent all of the disintegration of morals. It would prevent so many things about the world,
But you know what? There's like a
And
lot of
women would be like, to be with me as a man, I don't want to put another number on my forehead. You have to be a good man. They wouldn't stop fucking these idiots and stop being idiots. And all the idiocy would disappear. All the degeneracy would disappear. Families would return. Virgins meeting their first man, staying with him her whole life and being proud of it. Couldn't we go back to such a beautiful age? All we have to do is start putting numbers on girls' foreheads. We could fix everything.
Very good thinking. I don't like the how is that recorded in terms of violating the microphone peak audio. I don't know if it was responsible for the quality of the audio here, but the thinking is good here. Ariel Suarez says, I don't think there was a first human. It was a line of individuals that gradually approximated ever increasingly what modern humans are. Yeah, I mean, you can define the first human as any of the people along the chain, but I personally like since the one feature that independently of letters of DNA mutation, the one feature that is totally a distinguishing line between chimpanzees and men is the chromosome 2. And I think we could consider that humanity really started distinguishing itself from the chimpanzee line when one of the chimpanzees lost a chromosome. You know, the loss of a chromosome and its inversion and its plugging to another chromosome, that is a major genetic event. And still as of today, despite 7 million years of separations from the chimpanzees, it may be the one genetic change that contains the most impact still. So I really like this marker because it's not a single letter of DNA, because a single letter of DNA is likely to have a little to do with the original event, but this is likely an event that basically this first human that had this chromosomal inversion must have been as different from his mother as a Down syndrome person is different from his mother today. So you have to imagine the amount of differences here. The freak of nature that was created when a chimpanzee lost one chromosome must be as big as the difference between a normal person today and a Down syndrome person, because that's exactly what Down syndrome is. It is a chromosomal defect, a little different because it doesn't replug. It's just an extra chromosome. But in the case of the chimpanzee, it was one less chromosome and the chromosome was inverted. Valette says the first human had Downs. He had probably worse than Downs. Because on the Down syndrome person has an extra chromosome and it just fucks up all physiological processes in the body. Now imagine losing a chromosome. It's worse because then you're not just overdriven in some of your developmental path. You lack some genes. There are some genes that don't work anymore. The first human was probably extremely ugly. This is why you have to keep an open mind. And a lot of time in this community, I end up speaking with people who are like, "Oh, Jeff, why don't we get this out of society or this feature? It sucks. It's ugly." Bro, the first human, you would have killed it out of sympathy. The first human was probably like a disgusting blob of fat just rolling his way to his food. Ruffman says, yes, Andrew Tate, but on this topic, the alpha males who fuck 3, 4, 5 females a week also deserve equal responsibility for this issue. Another issue to address is whether dating app algorithms are being maliciously controlled by the programmers and founders of these apps. Yeah, those are important questions. I don't think it's the fault of women that the sex system is what it is. It's basically because for every sex act, there's a woman and a man. So it's a collective fault, but that doesn't mean that if you put the display on the forehead of women that says how many men they have fucked in their life, that might still fix a systemic problem. Even if it's not the fault of women, it could fix the systemic problem. Another comment by Andrew Tate.
I have an argument with a feminist, and she was saying that we need to teach men not to... And I said, my dear, I love how idealistic you are, but I am realistic. Men are already taught not to... She's like, no, we need to go and change language at school and rewrite history and do all the shit they're trying to do to make men weak, because they think that weak men don't... But I said, no, people already understand that it's wrong. Unfortunately, human nature, some people don't care about doing wrong things. We should teach people not to steal, but they still steal. Would you agree that everyone says don't steal? The Bible says don't steal. The Quran says don't steal. Schools say don't steal. Everyone says don't steal. People still steal. So if I were to take $1 million in cash and walk down the street at night in the worst part of town holding it, to a degree, I would have some responsibility. When I got robbed, the police would come and say, why did you do that? People would say, Andrew, why did you do that? You have to protect yourself from things. You can't just rely on the ideological hope that other people in the world are going to be perfect or that the law is going to prevent it. You have to say, no, I can't walk through the ghetto at 2 a.m. with with $1 million in cash, I take personal responsibility. She agreed. I said, then by extension, would you agree that the smartest thing a woman can do to prevent is not to sit here and try and change the way men think and talk about your bullshit, but to take some degree of personal responsibility and not put herself in dangerous situations. I'm not saying that's going to prevent all. I'm not saying that it's okay, but should be executed. I'm not saying that every single woman who was ever assaulted could have prevented it. I'm not saying any of that. I'm saying the smartest thing a woman can do is say, this is dangerous. Going home with this guy I just met is dangerous. Walking through this area by myself is dangerous. Let me call a taxi. Let me call my brother. Let me go with my husband. Isn't that a more intelligent way to teach women to prevent themselves from being as opposed to telling them you can do whatever you want, walk around in the middle of the night naked, it's no problem. Men should men are the problem.
Yes, extremely good. I was talking recently about we need to bring back victim blaming. And that's totally in line. An excellent argument. It's true that we don't talk of victim blaming when a guy is carrying $1 million cash in a criminal part of town. We would say, well, he caused it himself. We would not say, well, you had the right to walk with this $1 million. And so it's totally horrible what happened to you. I've never heard a feminist say this. Diamond Eyes sends a super chat. He says, "Hi, Jeff, with regards to your Greece video recently, do you believe that the efforts of England stealing the Elgin statues in the 1800s from Greece had any relation to keeping the West original history secure?" Oh my God. I'm not aware at all about this story, Elgin statues, England stealing them. I'm not aware of it. So to me, that doesn't sound like a very important story. Greece was going to destroy itself no matter what. Now, you may not have known this in the 1800s, but when you look at what Greece has exposed itself to, the taking of some statues seem like a very minor thing here. You don't deprive a people of existence by stealing statues, really. The stealing of statues, just like in the US, you know how the BLM movements are taking down statues because, oh, he believed in slavery or whatever, or just because he's a white man. You don't really destroy people through these means. It's more like a symptom of an already ongoing process of destruction. So no, I'm not a man of statues, to be honest. Statues are symbol. Symbols have their place in society. They are very important to some extent for creating a culture and a mind that thinks of, kind of creates the psychological legitimacy to your own territory. But effectively, the fall of a people is not the fall of the statues. The fall of a people relies entirely on demographics. And it's at some point, if you don't keep your demographics in check, the statues will fall one way or another, or they will be taken by some other people. The fuck rate is about to implode. Great text. I don't know that I fully subscribe to the theories, but it's a very interesting vision of thinking of society as a kind of social contract in which basically the alpha-alpha males, the very rich males who could have 10, 15, 20 females in another society, I've basically decided to get rid of some of the females. And they have decided that a middle average man could get an average woman because they don't take 15, 20 wives. They share their wives. And in exchange, the middle average man is offering plumbing services, basically. It is building the infrastructure of a society. And by just giving females to the middleman, you are enabling to squeeze out lots of work and useful things to society from the man, because the man has gotten what he wanted. So and the idea that modern society is basically breaking that contract with feminism basically feminism being the movement that comes to withdraw the middle females from their obligation. Because the natural order of things is, as we can see in the choice patterns of female on dating website, it's that the middle female wants to have sex with the alpha male. So the natural order of thing is that one king fucks 100 women, one rich businessman fucks 20, 30 women, and there's no woman left for the middleman. So the middleman has to settle for either no babies at all or the very low part of the scale. By being less bent toward the elite, our societies have made a pact with the middleman and have said, all right, you're going to build civilization, and in exchange, you do get a woman of your quality. That is a very interesting theory. It's a little bit too group level strategy for me to accept it as stated. I would like it to be framed more in terms of genetic interest at the selfish gene level, but I think it's definitely doable. But let's read what he has to say. It's Bright Eyes on Substack, writing at the beginning of September, "Society as sex trade. Our civilization is held together by a pact. Midmen get pussy, everyone else gets car infrastructure." I love the simplicity of it. "This pact harnesses the single greatest source of psychic energy known to men, men's desire to secure the partnership, youthful attention, and children of attractive women. It comes at a cost. High-status men have to give up access to pussy they would otherwise have. Mid-women have to settle for mid-men early instead of sharing a high-status man for a bit and then otherwise remaining single or mercenarily marrying at old age, which they would prefer. But the cost is almost certainly worth it for everyone involved. Plumbing is nice, you know? This pact has an intensive margin. The sweeter the deal you make for the mid-men, the more civilization you can squeeze out of them. It's pretty easy to, for instance, do 80 hours a week as a trucker if you have a thin, bubbly, hygienic, erstwhile virgin wife at home who's given you 3 blonde kids and is anxious about not giving you good enough blowjobs. Doing so when she's 30 pounds overweight, angry, a slob, run-through, barren, and expects you to center around her female pleasure during sex is going to be a harder sell. The former paradigm doesn't come for free. In general, you're going to need to build a social apparatus, religion, behavioral mores, unnatural standards, to shame women into it. And that shaming will inevitably make real, normal women unhappy. But in exchange, you get more civilization. Of course, different people have different tastes regarding the right amount of female shame to trade for plumbing and technological progress. But recently, in roughly the past century or so, an unhelpful notion has emerged. Approximately, it's the idea that you can take the trucker, give him the ugly wife, and get him to work as hard as he would if he had the hot wife with shame. Needless to say, this notion is a core load-bearing column for feminism. At the bottom of it, the problem with this idea is that it's not feasible in the long run. The woman who cooked it up suffered from the typical mind fallacy, imagining men to be much more vulnerable to social shaming than they truly are. There's generally only one thing that will motivate men to build more civilization, and it's not shaming, it's fucking disgusting. Basically, it's not you don't get men to participate actively and in good faith to civilization building by shaming them or by saying, you're so this, you're so that, oh, you're a white supremacist. You must give them what they want, which is reproductive sex. Go away, says JF. Isn't it better that women pursue the cream of the crop? Short-term suffering, societally speaking, for long-term gain, evolutionary speaking? No, because women have no particular insight on what's the cream of the crop. If women were doing quantum physics and were able to choose the best quantum physicist, that might work. But women are terribly stuck in trusting social signals to assess the quality of a male. And so what you have, when you let this kind of society develop, you end up with a very dictatorial, one man wins all type of situation, because that's what the social hierarchical world can only do. It will just define a king and name it the winner, and basically just how close you are to that king will give you your social status. But there is no marker of quality for civilizational building in the finding of these kings. The problem is that these kings have no particular insight. They cannot develop much. They haven't demonstrated their talent at anything. And so if you don't have a selection system that is much more broad, you are depriving society of basically anything else than arbitrary social hierarchical domination, which inevitably leads to a dictator, kind of a stupid dictator in some way. Incel as the revolutionary. The long-run inescapable equilibrium is one wherein truckers with ugly wives will not work as hard, and truckers with no wives may not work at all. Of course, all sociological systems are propped up by a mix of social conditioning and biological impulses, and re-equilibration is never instantaneous. A man raised under the hot wife paradigm might internalize certain principles, like a husband should sacrifice for his wife, and continue to abide by those principles blindly, even when he ends up marrying a sort of ugly woman. In the near term, the feminism egregore is banking on this precarious inertia carrying civilization forward, at least until a more sustainable solution can be discovered. The incel is the single greatest threat to such an outcome, and therefore has captured the feminism egregore's attention. Incels, as such, are not really a direct threat to anything. By construction, they're too few and uncharismatic to do much of anything beyond random acts of small-scale violence. What they have managed to do, however, is speedrun the conjuring of a new egregore. I don't know what this word means, by the way, egregore. Does it mean a mindset, a philosophy of life? It looks like that's what it might mean. Who knew that tight-knit groups of highly intelligent autistic men, monomaniacally focused on a single problem, could generate powerful ideas? Surely the original incel memeplex had a few delusional duds. What is a wrist cell, really? But it also inevitably had some biting hits. Cuck Carousel, Wall, Beta Box, Hypergamy, and crucially, social dynamics weaned out the former over time. As the modal community member moved away from Saint Black Ops to Cell and towards Andrew Tate, only the ideas that reliably square for the average mid guy made the cut. We've gotten to the point where the most prominent voices in the incel egregore are well-educated 8 out of 10 men advocating partly on behalf of their social inferiors and partly out of an aristocrat's taste for social arson. The ideas it espouses are facially correct for the average Joe, and it's sanded off enough rough edges to begin to jump from 4chan to normie sites like TikTok. The incel revolution is now in the streets. Re-equilibration will proceed apace, and min-men will progressively back out of their end of the deal. This poses a civilizational risk. You forgot to write risk here, but I guess that's what he meant. A new cope. Feminism, a political program which seeks to liberate mid-women from their end of the bargain, will not go down without a fight. As the incel egregor gains converts and midmen start defecting, it will generate a number of copes for its supporters. Here are some of the copes. AI/robotics/immigrants that will replace midmen are right around the corner, and then we'll have plumbing again. Right now, there's just a crisis of masculinity. If you help us shame midmen just a bit more, they will go back to being responsible, i.e. pay pigs. Men are being psy-upped by baseless radical ideology. If we tweak the algorithm, they will go back to what your dad was like. I love these scope. They are exactly what we've seen feminism react to, trying to shame the incels, trying to present them as extremists. It's right on target. Men needing hot wives is only true when they're socially conditioned to be pigs. We can convince them to work hard for ugly wives. They just need a bit of education. These copes won't do much of anything. The cat is out of the bag, but they will generate a lot of heat. Much social commentary in the coming decades will be exercises in such feminist cope, as the promise of cost-free female defection from the civilizational bargain slowly dies and the proverbial bill comes due for defectors. This process will be psychologically painful for many. The music will stop and tens of millions of midwomen will realize that they're priced out of the eligible husband market altogether. Female social circles will be rent into sexual haves and sexual have-nots. Beautiful future ahead. I would love to believe this guy. I'm not sure it works, though, evolutionarily. Would men just exclude themselves from the dating scene? How does that work? I'm not sure it can happen, but it's more like a psychological theory. It's not really an evolutionary one. The havoc these... But it's certainly at the evolutionary level, what we can say is that perhaps woman decision-making is tuned to another world, and it will come to be untuned to modernity. And it will eventually misguide them into always holding off, always saying, oh, maybe I can find a better male, and then eventually excluding themselves from the sexual marketplace because they just become too old while always hesitating on their choice. That could happen evolutionarily. The havoc these women will wreak won't be insubstantial. The terminal feminist scope that men change the game on them halfway through will be absolutely true. Their prospect of having it all, a defect slash corporate outcome, will evaporate in a few years' time. The fuck rate will plummet, and there will be hell to pay. Imagine Katie, a 55-year-old midwoman, perpetually on a double dose of Lexapro and Atavan, leaving her low-wage mid-management desk job a few hours early in order to make a birthday party held for her friend's mini poodle. Now multiply this by 30 million, each one spewing misery and social havoc into the world for decades on end. Given that we're already at the Andrew Tate stage of incel ideological saturation, we should get our first cohort of catties in 5 years or so. I love the writing. This is absolutely beautiful. It's painting a picture that is almost white-pilling of the future. I'm like, wow. Oh, by the way, thinking about... and you guys want the link? Here it is. Also, it will be in the link set in the description as any show that I show stuff on the screen. It's all in the description after the show. The HTML is uploaded automatically. I also have to do a short show tonight because I'm headed toward the Patreon hangout at 9 p.m. Eastern time. But let's keep reading because that's so good. Go away, says JF. Do you think we will see an incel president in our lifetime? I want to believe. very little chance, really, because the incel, no matter how much societal changes they may induce through their memes, or no matter how major of a population they become, they are always in the human psyche the loser. They are always, like, both females and males see signs of success and social status partly as, did you succeed at convincing a mate of quality? And so I don't think much people would vote for an incel president. Now, you could have a president that is gay, that doesn't turn out to have a wife for some reason. But to have an open, explicit incel that say, I identify as an incel, that won't happen. Because even within the incel community, they understand themselves as the losers of a game. And you cannot convince people to vote for you if you're the loser of something. Dialogue. Put simply, we have a major civilizational unraveling on our hands. Much of the things we assumed were conjured up by the magic of modernity. Reliable core infrastructure, cheap food, energy, shipping, functional business apparatus were in fact gifts bestowed upon us by a hungry god. We stopped sacrificing delicate virgins to him and tried to offer angry fat hags in their stead. He's wised to the ruse. That is absolutely beautiful writing. The idea that the whole system was basically a system of virgin sacrifice, that is just mind-blowing. Oh my god, my friend, 33-year-old Meredith, with an MPH from any tier 2 school, working 70k a year email job, is not an angry fat hag. She's a total catch and you're sexist. Listen, I have nothing against Meredith. I'm sure she's nice. But the hungry god doesn't care if she's nice. The hungry god cares if she's thin, young, submissive, and virgin. The hungry god is sexist because 5,000 years ago, only one out of 17 men passed on their genes, and viewing women as pieces of meat helped many of them thread that needle. He evaluates Meredith as a piece of meat and always will. No matter what I think of her on his altar, Meredith will always be an ugly fat hag. You can stop sacrificing to him, sure, but don't be surprised when his gifts stop coming. That is so beautiful to think that civilization may just fall on that. I think it's a little megalomaniac and a little big of a statement, but when you think about it, civilization fall on basic necessities not being fulfilled for populations. It's the only valid reason to do a revolution when you think about it. Food, survival, property, and reproduction. And perhaps we will have a reproduction crisis that leads to a revolution. It won't always be sexist. Men only objectify women because of social conditioning, which we can undo as a civilization. I sort of agree, actually. You can brainwash most people into aping whatever behavior you like. But while you can manipulate their minds, you cannot dupe their spirits and flesh. Men tip fertile strippers double what they tip infertile strippers. Do you think they will behave any differently when you ask them to pay for pussy with their sweat? The male body intuitively knows which prizes are worth fighting for, and which ones warrant only a holding pattern at best. No shaming will change this ever. You may nominally hold on to full mid-male employment, but the output will be greatly reduced. This is the absolute best-case scenario here. Anything more promising is delusional cope. But girl bosses will compensate for reduced mid-male productivity. There are women willing to clean sewers, drive trucks, and run unfashionable businesses, but they are outliers. Could this change? I guess. but we've had feminism for 60 years and most women still choose lower paying alternatives. I would bet against a sudden transition of mid-women out of the email labor market and into the core infra labor market any day of the week. And deep down, you would too. And the final critique that he was addressing, this is a revenge fantasy. You are an incel. So he responds to this critique, but I don't think it's worth reading. Final prognosis. The outlook here is simple. This will not be an extinction event, but it will put serious pressure on civilizational infrastructure and produce a metric fuckton of female suffering. Hedge against the former by going long consumer goods, short industrials, and befriending a few handy midmen with pathologically high moral. Hedge against the latter by limiting social exposure to the kill zone. That is, concentrators of mid-middle-aged women like academia, media, normie social media, politics, and corporate bureaucracy. Sooner than later, it's going to be a bloodbath out there. And if you're cool with casual sex, unlike me, and feeling particularly charitable, consider lending a catty your companionship. Any little bit to prop up the fuck rate will go a long way. That is absolutely beautiful. Puzim says, the piece JF is reading is funny and condensed. Interesting. Yeah, it's very funny. I like this writing with specialized terms that seem to emerge from someone who's been discussing dating way too much. I love this kind of specialty. It's a whole universe. And he's right, you know, society has de-axed women from what they could obtain to what is not obtainable, which is basically success in business at the same time as work, at the same time as having sex for hedonistic purposes until you're 70 years old. That won't work, and we'll have a lot of women on our hands without families, without babies, and they will get old and bitter, and who knows, maybe they won't do much because it's, but at least they will vote, and that's already a big pull down onto society. When you vote and you've been an hedonist all your life and you don't even care about the result of your vote for your descendants, because you have no descendants, it's going to get quite ugly. But I love his final counsel. It's basically what I would tell people. Get away from big city, corporate bureaucracy, academia, media, normie social media, and just isolate from the rest of the world. So it's funny that he basically reached the same fucking... I didn't even want to say fucking, but I was reading Nicholas Petri's message at the same time, and he used the word fucking, and it kind of went into my eyes and then out of my mouth. There was no reason for me to use the word fucking, but I really love that Nicholas Petri's was writing, get what you fucking deserve, roasty. Oh my god, oh my god, the hate, I mean, it's not hate, but the anger. Calm your anger, Nicholas. It's the internet. You shouldn't be angry. A major legal victory for the American people against big tech platforms that stifle our free speech rights online. Judge Andy Oldham upholds Texas law forbidding viewpoint discrimination by social media platforms with at least 50 million users. YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. It's good. They basically declare that when I speak on Twitter, it's not Twitter's free speech. It is Papa JF's free speech. That's good. It's a good start. Now, the problem is platforms will always find side excuses to justify banning people. And they'll never say explicitly, we ban people because they are conservatives or right wing. So I don't know if this law will be enough to fix the social media problem, but it's a beginning to at least say it's not their free speech, it's the free speech of the user. That is already a good progress. Tillman says, Jeff, you might like Cardi B's new song, Wet Pussy. It is Wet Ass Pussy, and it's not a new song. I'm much more connected to the MTV world than you are, it seems, because it's a rather old song, maybe a year old and more. Valet says, been spending most of our lives living in a roasty... Wait a minute, I think this is a song. Been spending most our lives living in a roasty's paradise. Had abortions once or twice, living in a roasty's paradise. Wow, Valet is writing some heat tonight. Thomas says, Nick Fuentes is terrified by the idea of breaking a sweat to make a living, let alone lift something heavier than a pen. Okay. I would love Valet to continue his writing of the whole song, and I volunteer to sing it. That's a beautiful song. I really love this song. It's a song, it's a rap song, very early, you know, not even a rap, really. It's just black people singing. Power in the money in the power, minute after minute, hour after hour. And it's a song that was featured in a movie that I've not been watching for a long time. But it's a movie about a white teacher, I believe, that was going into a black neighborhood to fix the black neighborhood, I guess. And she was coming at it with her... what is this movie, anyway? What is the movie of Julio Gangsta Paradise? Gangsta Paradise, Dangerous Minds, that's the name of the movie. And I think it featured this kind of white idealism of let's go save the black school. Mama JF is here. What's up, Mama JF?
Hey, Jeff, it's so weird you talk about this song.
Why?
Because I discovered, okay? Because, hey, what, the guy knew it.
What?
Because I'm listening to Stevie Wonder these days. Oh, yeah. I don't know why.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a song from Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, I heard it when you were watching it on your laptop.
It's living most our life, living in a pastime paradise.
Mm-hmm. And they changed it for Gangsta, why? And they made it a rap thing.
It's wow. Weird.
Yeah, because the Stevie Wonder version is not super interesting. I prefer the Coolio version. Genesis says Stevie Wonder allegedly faked being blind. Yes, I mean, you know, I love this subfield of the internet. Mama JF, is Stevie Wonder really blind?
Oh, yeah.
What?
You know what I'm gonna say?
No, I don't know. Okay. What's your position on it?
Have you ever seen Stevie Wonder's girlfriend?
No.
Oh, he hasn't seen her either. Neither. Lol, is my dad joke?
Stevie Wonder's girlfriend. Yeah, this is a whole subset of the internet. They analyze Stevie Wonder walking patterns, and they have a whole theory that they have a whole theory that Stevie Wonder is not truly blind, so they look at him walking and, oh, he's avoiding an obstacle here. And then they analyze his song words, and it's like, oh, here he says that he sees the sunshine. How could he see the sunshine? He's blind. It's so autistic. I love it. Not that I believe any of it, but I love that there's people obsessed with this idea that this guy has faked being blind all of his life. Just letting your brain imagine this idea as being potentially true, it's so interesting. U.S. appeals court reject tech's right to regulate online speech. So those are the first step. Those are the first step that may get us to a point where we get states being able to just say, look, you just don't ban anyone, or you just don't ban anyone for any other than these reasons. Unfortunately, with the spam excuse, social media platforms always have an excuse. But just like me, they said I was a spammer. They said I was on Twitter, that I was violating their spam and deceptive practices. And so with this, they can ban whoever they want. So the legislative part must be working hard to be closing these loopholes, these exploits. Nonpartisan attorney offered $400 to make anti-Trump social media post using provided keywords. This is our democracy in action. Look at this.
I was just off.
This guy receives an email. He says, yes, I'm interested. Thank you so much for your interest. He clicks on the link. Look at this. The standards that is being asked of him, they want him to talk about January 6th. It's the Good Info Foundation. When you have a name like this, the Good Info Foundation, I'm not expecting much good here. You have to say criminal conspiracy rather than attempted coup or treason or insurrection. So somehow they have decided we're gonna spread the meme that it's a criminal conspiracy rather than an insurrection. You have to say Trump Republicans, not Trump and his allies. Oh, so it had to be smearing the Republican word. You have to say January 6th investigation rather than hearing or trial. You have to call it an attack on our country or an attack on America or on Americans and a criminal conspiracy and a committed crime. Holy shit, they are totally controlling the online conversation. Nothing is natural anymore in what we see. They are having these big funds and they're like, oh yeah, how about we drive the internet toward these words rather than these words? Talk about MAGA Republicans, etc. Make clear this is ongoing and unresolved, not past and done. And show voter agency, turn the anger into defiance. Core deliverables. 1 60-second TikTok video. Repost the video onto Instagram Reels. And concept to be pitched to vocal first, followed by blah, blah, blah. This is why we had built Bloodsport. There was no way to be not genuine. You had to come and you had to make a case for your ID, and we were reviewing your IDs and we were bashing you if you were wrong. But with this kind of stuff, this is what most people will consume on the internet. So I mean, these words, I've seen them being used by influencers regularly. So I know where this comes from. They got $400 to do that. Go away, says Jeff. Would you talk about January 6th with these conditions if I gave you a $400 super chat? I might, but I would make it a fictitious thing. I would say, ladies and gentlemen, I just had a request by super chat from Go Away. And the next 1 minute of things are lies that I'm saying for the purpose of reconstructing the conditions asked in this super chat. I would never take that without public disclosure, basically. No, because I don't do private determination of my content. I only do public. Because to me, genuine thought on the internet must survive. And that kind of system, it can take over the entire internet, but it will never take me. Because when I decided to become a streamer or YouTuber, call it whatever you like, I decided that I was going to own my words and the product of my words and the product of my thoughts. To be delegating this to an outside entity, first, the reason you have to do this stuff is because you're not intelligent enough. Like, if you don't have your own ideas and you need outside output of that kind to determine what you think, you're low IQ. And secondly, you are destroying your own product. People want to hear the opinions of the brain they come to listen to. 3 in 10 Americans still refusing to get the coronavirus jab. I don't think this number will move. Violence in California reaches epidemic levels as our society rapidly deteriorates all around us. This whole welcoming of a homeless population and the release of criminals on the street is starting to wear down on the cities that are that way. Martha's Vineyard set a beautiful example for the nation. They used the military to deport every last illegal migrant from their island in less than 48 hours. The entire nation should emulate Martha's Vineyard. That's a reason why it was a great idea. You force the leftists to show you the way. That's beautiful. Mama JF is here. What's up, Mama JF?
Oh, I just want to say my joke again because it's more funny in French.
Okay.
I'm gonna say it in French, okay?
Okay.
JF, as-tu déjà vu la blonde à Stevie Wonder?
No.
Lui non plus. It's more.
Well, I'm sure that the French population of the audience is very pleased with this French version. FBI whistleblower says bureau labeled veteran-led group domestic terrorist organization. Yeah, but they've been doing this. They've been doing this for a while. Twitter could and they've been doing this to so much more than just this veteran group. They've been doing it for parents, white people. They've been targeting people based on race and parenthood. Twitter could face billions in fines for over not protecting minors from porn, ex-FTC officials. Okay. If it can get at the heart of Twitter and hit them with a fine, I'm fine with it. But at the same time, when the government puts pressure for these platforms to do things, it often goes in the direction of IDing the people using their platforms. So sometimes it can be a backdoor way to force identification, because then Twitter is like, well, I can't keep anonymous people on my platform anymore because I don't know if they're children. So I have to ask for identity cards, and then suddenly you just linked your social media accounts to your real life identity. White. Sends $51. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, hey, JF, it's Saturday. Time for a talk about Swiss chard and fennel. JF, tell me about Swiss chard and fennel. Swiss chard is totally different from fennel. By the way, we've been eating a lot of Swiss chard, me and Mama JF, because we had full bags from the garden, and it's like we need to pass them. And at this point, I'm eating boiled Swiss chard every night, and it's very enjoyable. It's like, you know how if you go in the south of the US, they will serve you these disgusting collard greens? Like, it's the sewers of the vegetable world. It's just mushy, wetty crap in your plate. Swiss chard is like, much, much better. So much better. So I have a high respect for Swiss chard in terms of something green that can accompany a ribeye decently, a ribeye steak. So Swiss chard are, when you cook them, about 5 minutes to 7 minutes for the leaves in boiled water. And if you want to eat the stems, they are also very good, but they may need 10 to 20 minutes to boil. Then you remove the water, you put some butter, salt, pepper, and you got a good side vegetable that you can add to anything. Ariel Suarez is talking about a sausage pasta, Swiss chard fennel. You can put them in pasta, you can use them as side dish. You can eat them just like this. It's very good. Good for a vegetable, for something green. Now, fennel is a harsher thing. Fennel is like this unassumed onions that didn't fully decide to be an onion. And so it became a fennel. And it's this big thing with like Titanic style smoke pipes going in 4 or 5 directions. And it's from the family of the dill pickle, the dill spice. So the difference is that if you have a dill plant, it doesn't really give the bulbs as much as the fennel becomes a big bulb at the base of the ground, whereas the dill just makes its branches. And so it has dill-like leaves just hanging. And the fennel ultimately is a very white, sturdy, rough vegetable that doesn't have many functions. It is perfumed in a bizarre way. You could compare it to potato almost at times, but that's the target. But it's more like an onion that you can prepare close to a potato. You can make a fennel puree with butter and sometimes cutting it at 50-50 with potatoes. But it needs a lot of cooking, and it's a whole world, the world of fennel. But thank you for your support. Thank you for your super chat. U.S. Army is having issues recruiting. There's a recruiting crisis. Test scores are dropping and disqualification rates are surging. So people are becoming too stupid to even go into the army. That will be a beautiful future for the fall of the American Empire when your population has become so low grade that they don't fit the standard to be holding a gun. Combined with the sex blog post, this sets us up for a future America in complete fall. There's a movement that says boycott Woman King, hashtag boycott Woman King on Twitter. It's like they made a whole movie with only black people in Africa. And there's like a handful of European actors, and they're really the evil people coming to do slave trade. It's like, you have your entire black African movie here. Aren't you satisfied? No, they say it's not enough. There are two women who are the writers of this movie. It's Woman King. It's like an imagine reconstructed history of Africa where females were leading and killing people with machete. It's like epic, I'm a strong black woman type of memeing. I mean, it's really the whole idea of filling our movies with black people went too far here. And at this point, it's even dishonorable to African culture. Because it's like, if you wanted to do a true history of Africa, I would actually watch that. But that's not a true history of Africa. It's just a fantasy. And on top of it, a fantasy written by two white women. So they're not happy that Let's be honest, folk. It's a movie about the African tribe famous for selling slaves to Europeans that was made into a female empowerment story by two white women writers. You don't have to be very woke to see the problem here. So that's the left eating itself. At this point, I will not object to Boycott Woman King. I will also join the hashtag Boycott Woman King, but not for this reason. I joined the Boycott Woman King because it looks like a terrible movie in the trailer. Oh, by the way, I've been initiating the season 4 of Westworld. Westworld becomes bad at season 4, I have to admit. I really like season 1. Season 2 and 3 were powerful, good. But season 4, you've reached my threshold that I can't handle at this point. Caleb from season 3, a man from the army and all, is now married to a black woman. He has a black daughter, which he defends. He's like, "You won't touch my daughter." And I'm like, oh, I cringe when he says this, because it's like, bro, it's not your daughter. Visibly, she is the daughter of some other guy. And he's like, "You won't do anything to my daughter." Bro, you are being cuffed. You are defending the daughter of someone else. She's obviously full 100% black. And then they took the beautiful woman who's, you know, Dolores, the beautiful woman who's at the center of this whole narrative, who I've been impressed at her performance in season 1, 2, 3. And now she starts season 4 and she's in a virtual world and she's like, "I want to write a story. It's a story that wouldn't be very popular on the markets of capitalism. But it's a story about a woman who was seeking for herself and she found herself and became happy. I want a story with a happy ending for this young girl. And who eventually learns that she can become anything." And it's like, holy shit, Sex and the City level of writer crap, of female intimate journal of shit being laid out in front of my eyes. How could you take the best thing to ever be produced about robots, AI, and virtual world, and you turned it into this shit? Now, I've only watched two episodes. I mean, I was watching one season a day, just boom, boom, boom. And then today I could only watch two episodes and I was like, okay, for now I have to take a break. The whole thing is filled with woke stuff. Woke really comes to kill everything. That is so sad. You could have let Westworld alone. You dirty wokesters. Anyways, I will watch it in full because I want to see just how bad it becomes. But unfortunately, I will have to eventually obliterate the part of my brain that has recorded that there was a season 4 of Westworld. And I will just keep living as if there were only 3 seasons. Just like I lived my entire life ignoring the last episode of Lost. That's what it's going to be. DeSantis, very successful at funding. He's breaking records for funding. A massive new $10 billion U.S. aid package to make Jordan third largest recipient. America sending its money all over the world, except to Americans, of course. Former CNN anchor Chris Cuomo slams Democrats for demonizing Trump voters. As Chris Cuomo has another specialty now, he's talking passive aggressively against his old employers and saying, "Oh my God, everyone is too woke and they're going too strong against the Trumpists." And I don't know this It's like you've been part of this organization for so long, and you've been playing that game yourself, Chris Cuomo. You can try remarketing yourself, but I guess the first thing I would like to see from you is a mea culpa and a recognition that you were part of that anti-Trump machine. And finally, as a last news item before we get to our private Patreon hangout, which will start in 45 minutes from now at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, a video of a woman in distress because they are unable to stop the gas pump.
Nicole, you need to put it back in.
What do I do? It's not stopping.
What do I do? It's not stopping. Bro. If she starts her car, or if a lighter is lit up, or if there's a friction on a piece of metal that creates a spark or something, this girl is just blowing up. Well, what do? You find the emergency button and you stop the pump. If it's the case that it doesn't stop, you find the emergency stop button on the pump or on the columns close to the pump. You need to stop the pump. That is it for tonight, Buzz. If you would like to join our private show, it will be in 45 minutes from now. Join the Patreon or the Subscribestar at the $20 level. And make sure you update your page there. You will get a link and we will be discussing on Discord. Much love, everyone. See you all later tonight for the supporters of the show. Bye-bye. Thank you.